Hey guys, Sean here. Thanks to everyone who tunes into the Play It Up podcast. We really love doing this podcast and really appreciate everyone who listens. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Play It Up Podcast. You can find the full video podcast on YouTube, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Anchor, and more. If you want to ask us a question, you can do so on Anchor, and your question will be featured on the podcast. If you like what we do, please remember to like, review, comment, follow or subscribe, and please recommend us to your friends. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Play It Up podcast, everybody, or as Mike likes to call it, the Play It Up Loud podcast sometimes, Play It Up Loud. When he's feeling like, when he's got the Game Boy in his head.
Yep.
It's actually a good name, Play It Up Loud.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like
it. I can't believe I said that.
That's great. We don't have much time today, so this is going to be a bit of a lightning round where we catch up. We can go all go through what our pickups are lately, any PBs we've had, what we've been playing, and any other things we've done gaming wise that we want to talk about. So how are we, or how are you, Dennis?
Good mate, good. I guess to kick off what we were discussing a little earlier about MCA joysticks and that sort of thing. Obviously, we've been through that. Apart from that, there's been some repairs and some works on cabinets that I've got. So a lot of my cabinets are going out to BPAC, which we will be talking about separately in another episode. Quite a lot of my machines, my upright cabinets here in this room will be at the event. So it's been fixing them all, which has been expensive, it's really good. So it's nice to have everything really working good. Helifire has been off to the spray painters this week. So I did some spray painting work on it. And even though I used the right color, and I used the recommended enamel, this enamel that I used just didn't dry. Like, I needed to add hardener to it or something like that. Like, all the stuff that I'm learning about painting, I can understand now why spray painting is a completely separate trade and that you need a few years to learn it. Man, you can't just fudge your way through that, eh? There's a lot to it. So I learned a lot, not enough to do a decent job on it. But I had my dad come up just last weekend, and he's done automotive spray painting in sort of the last 30, 40 years that he's been restoring cars. And so he knows his way around a spray gun and knows his paints really well. And he's taken a look at my cab and said it looks really good, but he just said that paint's never going to dry, that the coat that was applied was too thick and a bunch of other stuff. And yeah, so he basically said we're gonna have to strip it all off. And so all the work that I did over the last few months, trying to get everything like looking schmick, it all came off within the space of 4 hours, and I was devastated. So everything that I spent time doing, all the prep and everything, was just in a big pile of shaved red and gray paint on the bottom of the garage. It hurt, but I learned a lesson. So all the prep wasn't lost, by the way. So all the repairs that I did on the damage of the cab that I got, that was actually okay. And so the prep was really good, which it saved a lot of time getting it ready to get it sprayed. So we just had to put an ad out on Airtasker and figure out if there are any spray painters around that could grab the cab. And if they had some spare time, do us a solid and give it a couple of coats. So that's worked out. And I got some photos a couple of hours ago that I think I shared with you guys, and it's come up amazing. So it's ready to pick up tomorrow. So then it'll be popping everything in. My PCB's been repaired, ready for BPAC. So I have all of the stuff now. I just need to do like a Voltron sort of assembly thing and put everything together, and it'll come up looking minty. So I'm really excited. The next couple of days are going to be great. So there is that. And that'll be hopefully a couple of days shoulder to give it a run and make sure everything's good before all the cabs get picked up. So
nice.
That's kind of what's been occupying a lot of my time. just making sure that everything's ready and that everything's in tip-top condition as much as it can be. A new monitor in my Donkey Kong cab as well. So did that and nice. just got a PB on this cab, not like a personal like PB. My PB's 394-400 or something like that. I just got 318-400 playing that cab nice. Today. So yeah, my last PB was actually at Kong Off. So
new PB soon, mate. I can feel it.
Oh man, I hope so. It's been ages. It's a good feeling to know that eventually, once you play DK, that you do get the occasional breakthrough game and you get a decent score every now and then. It's enough to keep you hooked and keep you on to come back for more.
Mm. Yeah, so, keep the addiction going.
Exactly. Keep it going. So trying to think of anything else that I've been doing, having a quick look around, but repairs, spending money that I don't have and that sort of thing. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Nice. The arcade room's looking great, man. Can't wait to visit. When everything, I come back in a few months.
Everything's running. Yeah. So that's me as far as a whip around goes, guys, without too much detail into anything. Who's up next?
Well, let's go with Mikey. Oh. So just in case he needs to duck out.
Oh, good call.
Do it.
Smart. No worries. Smart. All right.
Haven't been playing a lot lately, eh? Just been heaps busy with the business and work and life and house and stuff. So yeah,
all right, Mike's done. Let's move on.
Got to pick up a few weeks. Got a few weeks, Buck.
Show us your paps.
Oh, here it is. Your paps.
Okay, so Dark Souls. Those listening on Limited. Voice only, it's Dark Souls Limited Edition PS3.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hot.
So that was good fun. I've got a new shirt from Netherworld as well. So yeah, everyone. In Video Town, you can see the Caco Demon on the screen right now. This design from the Doom design of Caco Demon. This is
it's so hot. Yeah. It's awesome. It's so
anyone listening in Germany, he's not saying shit demon. He's not saying Caco Demon. Caco Demon from Doom.
Yep. So yeah. Sean, what would Caco Demon be in German then? Would it have a different name? Anyway, not an important
question. Good question. I need to look this up later. I'm scared to.
Sure, it's not shit demon.
Caco demon or Caco demon.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want those search results if you're in German. But maybe that's what you look up.
Well, we'll see. I'll do it in private.
Sorry, Mike.
That's right there. That's awesome. Also picked up. I finally picked up a One Up Arcade T-shirt, which I've been meaning to do for years and years.
I got that fairly recently. They always sold out every time I went to go and buy one, man. Yeah, I finally got one myself. So yeah, stoked. Nice. They're finally back in stock.
And on the clothing, I had two more items of clothing, which just recently, Neil managed to pick me up one of the original PlayStation logo hoodies from Kmart, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was BW. Was just one of those.
BW, Yeah, just a rad big jumper with the old school PS1 logo with the colors on it and stuff, not that black and white shit that looks terrible.
Yep.
And also, I was talking to John Pansini a few months back maybe. He was designing some t-shirts and he designed one for Pfizer, which is one of the racing teams in Wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
And he designed a Pfizer t-shirt with a little logo on the front and like big mad logo on the back of it as well, which is a very cool.
I thought
cool
it was
shirt.
Pfizer for a second. I thought it was just like really enthusiastic about vaccination. Wanted like a Pfizer t-shirt.
Pfizer.
Oh, that's kind of lame, Mike. Why did you buy one of those?
Pfizer.
Well, Pfizer.
Pfizer. F-E-I-S-A-R. Pfizer. I don't know how you say that.
F-E-I.
Pfizer. That's pretty close.
Pfizer. Pfizer. Yeah.
I've been playing a game of Donkey Kong at Netherworld every now and then. I haven't been to Netherworld for playing arcades for a while because I've been doing the Social League and I've been so busy. Like, through the only times I get to Netherworld, we're playing Social League pinball. So the arcades I miss them. That makes me sad. I haven't played them enough.
They miss you, man.
I've been playing one game of Donkey Kong on average a week for the last couple of weeks and the scores are not looking good. So we can talk about what I did today at Netherworld, which was Nerd the World had their DOS gaming event on today. So they had a whole bunch of PCs set up. It was pretty awesome. So cool. Yeah, all PCs, just running old DOS games like Commander Keen. I joined in on the Scorched Earth competition. I never played that before. It was like a predecessor to Worms, basically.
Oh, wow. You would have loved that.
Wolfenstein 3. Yeah. The first shot I did was an accidental one-shot kill on Mitch. I was just set the power, set the angle, hit the button, walked away.
Got that.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just a lucky beginner's luck. Yeah.
Apologies, Mike. Is Scorched Earth like the tanks on the side of the hills? But yeah. You can't... Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to have to pull
tanks,
that out.
Just that's tanks awesome. On top of a landscape. Yeah.
Yeah.
And landscape and stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Very nice little game. Hey, they had Wolfenstein
Mike,
3D running
you
as
on,
well.
Weren't you on the Pixel Pie podcast recently talking about Worms?
I was, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did.
Shout
Scott,
out to
Scott Tiller.
To you, Scott.
Yeah. Pixel Pie. Yeah, he invited me on for a general chat, which is cool, a couple of weeks back. And we recorded a few hours of content, which just, it went really quickly. It was weird how, like when I finished recording, it felt like it was like an hour or less, but man. Yeah, we went on and on. Just talked about
really
so much
good.
Stuff.
It
was mad. Went yeah, pretty in depth. Yeah, that was
it was a good
super
episode.
Cool. And that's been about it. Yeah, that's me wrapped up. A little bit of Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 training for the one up arcade 1cc day. So getting back to my speed running, just mad toilet runs. You know, speed run. Just have a go. See how far I can go. Just getting that feel back using cyber smoke for killing those enemies super quick and trying to get lucky with RNG on Mataro. I haven't finished it for a while, so I'm just getting back to that mode of being able to cruise through and finish at the end.
I remember it being a bastard to finish when I used to play it on PC back in the day. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's hard. Tough.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that wraps me up, eh? That was me. Neil, what have you been up to, Neil?
Nice.
Been pretty busy. But through all the craziness of life, being able to get some pickups. So I've been falling in love with a game called Spectre, and recently... purchased a board from Germany. So yeah, absolutely loving Spectre at the moment. I'm gonna do a review for
Dennis, Dennis loves it too, apparently. Dennis really loves it.
It's the best game. It's so good.
It needs to be explained as to why it's good. So I'll write a review for it to tell you why I love it so much.
It does need explaining.
Yeah, it does. That's fine. So picked up Spectre. I picked up Phoenix after really enjoying playing the lineup.
Cool, man.
So yeah, got a Phoenix board, and I got from the States, I've recently picked up a Rally X board as well. So got some nice. Good parts coming home. So yeah, looking forward to that. Besides that, I've been
Spectre's kind of related to Rally X in a way, isn't it? Well, they're both cars.
It's amazing game. Yeah. It's an amazing game where you can shoot. But I don't have enough time to go into Spectre. I need to do a review, which I plan to do. So,
cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
Wait for that. picked up some new PBs. So I've been playing Strikers 1945 a lot lately, and managed to make it to the seventh level. So the end of eight is when it loops over.
Nice, man.
Yeah, been doing good on that. I'm just having a look at what my PB was.
Yeah, I watch you when we do Friday night chats and Game the System Discord. Watch you play Strikers 1945 every Friday, and just having to watch you grind it so hard. It looks like a really bloody tough game to play and get to master as well. So you've done really well by progressing, mate. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like you slowly learn new things, and it takes a lot of time, but when you get it, you don't lose that information. So it's really good. So being able to not use bombs on a certain level on the level threes and fours. So yeah, that's been really handy. So we've got 596K, which is good. And I got a new PB on Spectre, which was 64K. So it's a pretty low scoring game. So 64 starts quite to get good. Really gnarly. So yeah. Besides that, I've just been checking out some stats for, I love stats. So I've been looking into Australian Kong Off. So I'll quickly share just a couple of things that I found. So
cool. Yeah.
There's been 56 placements, if that makes sense, over all of the Australian Kong Offs, but we've only actually had 28 players play in the finals for Kong Off. So it's funny how like we're continually getting the same players into the top 16 or the top eight in the first comp all the time. There's only a very few amount of players that this year will have played all five competitions. Like it's a very fine list. So I'm pretty sure it's like off the top of my head, it's Barra, Shane Saul, and Michael Kibbe. So yeah, if those three are able to make it to the finals this time, which I'm sure they will, yeah, they'll be the first to play all five tournaments. So that's pretty cool. I was looking at some cool head-to-head matches, like people have bumped into each other a few times. And the one out that I've been looking at is Shane Saul and Matt Tecchio. They've both come up into against each other in like the preliminary final, so like the game before the grand final, and Shane Saul's won both of those in Kong Off 3 and 4. So if that happens again, yeah, watch out, because
pop that, Tecchio.
Shane's an unbelievable player. Like if you look at the stats,
so consistent,
it's insane how much better head-to-head he is compared to any other player. So he's won in head-to-head games, Shane's won 9 and lost 3. So just shows you how consistent he is.
Wow.
Huge.
Yeah. And there's like a big gap to second, like Barra and Tecchio are like second place on that list with 6 wins and 3 losses each as well. So
wow,
just crazy. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. Yeah, that's me done. So I'll
leave. Such a nerd.
I love stats, man. I really do. I get right into it.
Me too, man.
I'm trying to get awesome. This information because, like, you can't find it. Like, they've got little bits of information everywhere with the Australian Kong Off, and it needs to be
nothing centralized
into one kind of document. So that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I'm trying to get
that's like, awesome, man.
I'm trying to get what players won by. So like they're like whoever lost, I'm trying to get their end score. I'm trying to get whoever won, how many men they had left in their game, just so we can reference that later. So yeah, anyway.
Wow.
That's what I mean.
Very cool.
Some
stuff that you just wouldn't even think about. And then once you know about it and it's quite interesting. Like, well, this person always won with 2 men left compared to their competitor, that kind of thing, or with an average of 2 men.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Numbers tickle my fancy.
And what have you been up to, Sean?
Yeah.
I've been busy with a bunch of gaming stuff. So what came first?
Cheated.
I guess. Oh, I hope so. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna continue that.
Good one.
Nailed it. I guess like what I've been playing, I finished Spider-Man Miles Morales, which was a game my Michelle got me for Christmas last year. That was awesome. Like the first Spider-Man was great as well. So cool, just like swinging around New York, and it's just unbelievable. The mechanics of that game are really, really good. So yeah, finished that. That was really fun. I don't know what else I finished since then, apart from Castlevania. I got into speedrunning it for the Game of Systems Game of the Month. learned some stuff from Denny. He sent some videos through as well to help out. And like, first time I finished the game, it took me an hour and 40 minutes. And that was while watching videos and stuff when I needed to. Like, okay, this is the most efficient way to finish it. The second time I finished it was 45 minutes. And then I managed to cut that down to 40 something minutes again. And then down to, I think the next time it's 20, 21 or 22.
It was like 21 and a half 21.
Wow. Yeah, so I was pretty stoked with that. I didn't know if I would. I just wanted to get sub 30, but then I had a good run and I beat Dracula first go. And I was never said anything before. Yeah, dog. Such a dog. But once you know how to beat him, he's fairly easy. You can still lose, but once you get the timing down, that was really fun to learn how to speedrun that game. And if I do continue speedrunning, it probably would be with Castlevania. But it's just too many games to play. But it is really satisfying. It's such a good game.
I've never really figured out. I guess I never really figured out why I enjoyed speedrunning Castlevania either. That I like playing it, but I never really thought why I like it. It's just fun, and I never really figured it out. So it's kind of cool to hear that someone starting and playing it is sort of like, it's just good to know that someone else is feeling it as well. So yeah, it was good to see everyone get into it and have a game, because it's really fun. And it's got that magic formula. It's accessible. And yes, the first time you play through, like you mentioned, Sean, it can feel like a grind, but I think once you get to know the basics, it's just very enjoyable to play. And it's just the right mix to push you and make you want to keep coming back and trying to better yourself as well. So, I know exactly what you mean. It's great to play. Great game.
Yeah, usually when you die, you feel like you could have done better. So it doesn't feel unfair.
Yeah.
It feels like most of the time it's your fault. And you're like, okay, I know what I did then. I know what to do next time. And yeah, very, 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 very fun game. And the speedrunners who get like 11 minutes, whatever it is, the world record is insane.
Oh my God.
Denny got 14 minutes, right? You got into the sub 15 category now?
Yes.
And Sacreon?
Yes. Steve and I went. So we, very last day, I saw that Shauno got 21 minutes. So I was like, okay. He's within range, because my PB was 15 minutes 50 or something like that. And so I was like, I better have a couple of games just in case, because he could tip me at the post here. And so I had a couple of games, and it was really fun. I saw on Game System Discord that Sacreon Steve had posted 14 minutes 56 or something like that. And so he went under the 15, and I was like, oh no, I didn't realize. And then as I was playing, I ended up beating that by 2 seconds. So I went 14:54. And another couple of games, and I did better again, and it went 14 minutes 38 or something like that. Again, which was really great. And yeah, just again, like you said, it was just fun to play. And yeah, it's kind of cool having that that sort of competitive thing with like a small group of people that you know really well. And it's great to shit talk each other and push each other to do better. I love that. It's part of what makes it fun. So definitely. Yeah, I'm really glad you enjoyed it, man. It's a great game to play.
Oh, definitely. It's one of my favorites now, like on the NES, because I feel like I can dominate it, but I also feel like I earned my way there by just learning it, taking the time to learn it. And I always wanted to play Castlevania. I never played one before. I just maybe mucked around with it here and there.
Yep.
So I'm really happy I finished that, and I'll play the others in the series as well going forward. I'm keen as to try them out. Yeah. Can you guys still hear me? Dennis has frozen.
Yeah, man.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Still there, Denny?
I don't think he is.
Oh, he's gone. Excuse
me. Oh, he'll be back. I'll carry on anyway. He'll be back, I reckon. Mike, we've only got like 9 minutes, so
he's literally having a chin wag. Oh, he's back.
No.
Oh, no.
I guess he'll join back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you guys talk about Kibbe's world record last episode at all?
No.
I don't know if we did, eh?
I don't think he had done it by then.
He'd done it, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so big shout out to Kibbe. I did do a post on our Facebook and Instagram, I think.
Nice.
Congratulations, man, to Michael Kibbe. Kibbe93, I think he goes by on Twitch, or just Kibbe, Kibbey, and absolute animal. He played Nibbler, which is, for people who aren't familiar, basically the original Snake game, or one of the original. I haven't looked too far into the history of Snake to know everything, but he marathoned it for 50 hours, streamed the whole thing. He got past the billion for the first time. He was tricking people during the stream, saying that's all he wanted to do. And then once he got past the billion, he was like laughing, saying, imagine thinking I'm going to come this far and not go for the world record. And he even changed the title of the stream to that. Imagine thinking I'm not going for the record. And then he did it. Yeah. He nailed it, and he could have kept going. But I don't know. I'm guessing he was basically ready to pass out.
Mm. Yeah, absolute beast. Terrific effort. Yeah, he I remember him saying, like, it was actually like he wasn't seeing things right at one point of the stream. Like, he's just obviously so sleep deprived, and yeah, it was just such an amazing feat. And like, yeah, I tuned in every now and then when I got the chance, and it was just very entertaining to watch. And even like late in the game,
he's so funny.
Yeah, even late in the game, like, he just has that pattern down pat, like, it's so well. It's insane. But it started getting nervous at the end, watching his lives slowly drop. And yeah, hoping that he could make it, but no, crushed it. Well done, Kibbe.
Absolutely. Yeah, couldn't go to a better bloke. He's a pillar of the classic gaming community, and he's earned that. That was... four or five attempts or something over the last few years to do it on an arcade machine, and he either knew, I think sometimes he just knew early on, all right, I don't quite have it yet to make it all the way, or whatever reason didn't happen even. And Johnny was there, Johnny Bond, a lot of the time was there to cheer him on every time, actually. And Kibbe said that it wouldn't have happened without Johnny, like, motivating him to go for the record. And on the stream, fittingly, he had a whole time a picture of Johnny, like, lying on his side with his hand, holding his head up, just smiling. And it's like, it so cool that he was basically there in spirit for the whole thing, and he was tuning in heaps. And Johnny told me afterwards that Kibbe actually reached out and messaged him, and he said on the stream as well, but he texted him and said, I meant what I said, man, this wouldn't have happened without you, like, thanks so much and everything. And Brought a tear to Johnny's eye. We know Johnny's a passionate bloke, so I was super happy to hear that. Yeah, really cool. So proud of Kibbe, and 50-hour marathon. And if anyone wants to know more about the game Nibbler, check out Man vs. Snake. It's a fantastic documentary, kind of in the style of King of Kong, except it's more accurate to the truth, I believe. So it's less of a, I don't know, less of a movie, more of an actual documentary. But fantastic. I love King of Kong, by the way, not to talk shit on it, but I think it's just more historically accurate.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we watched it last night, sure. Me and Neil.
What, Man vs. Snake?
No, King of Kong.
King of Kong.
Nice. I haven't watched it in ages. I have to get back into it.
We watched that and Chasing Ghosts afterwards, which is also
It's also great.
Yeah.
Oh, can we watch it again when I get back together?
Of course we can. Yeah. Hold hands.
Movie marathon.
Yeah.
Only if we hold hands. Yeah. Thank you. But apart from that, I should get through my pickups so we can end things up. But I also went to the Video Game Museum in Berlin, which was awesome. It won't take me long to talk about that. But they have like a replica arcade, like a small one of what it would have been like back in the 80s. They had some awesome games in there. They did have Donkey Kong. They had, I believe, Asteroids, a version of Tetris. Maybe it was the Atari Tetris. They had Frogger, which I gave a shot. Yeah, they had a little arcade. They had like replicas of what it was like to an 80s bedroom of like a kid in the 80s and like old school couch, old school surroundings. I've got some photos I can add into the video if anyone wants to see. Maybe I can post some stuff on the Facebook page. And I played an Intellivision for the first time.
Oh, rad.
And that was really cool. I don't know how I feel about the controller. I don't know if it was that controller because it's a museum. You know, a lot of people are playing with it. So I don't know if it was up to scratch. And maybe it needed a clean. But I played Burger Time on the Intellivision, which I was stoked that that was the game that was in there because I love Burger Time. And cool. It's a disc. I don't know if you've played it, but the D-pad that is basically a disc and it's a horizontal, not horizontal, is it landscape? No.
Hey,
welcome back, Diddy. Yeah, we had to keep going because of time. Sorry, man. But I'll just kick on. There's a portrait like controller that you hold and you have buttons on the side and the D-pad, it's like a circle though. It's a disc, it's down the bottom. So to go around corners and stuff, it's a bit weird because you're just sliding around this disc that kind of tilts. But that was fun. I also played Moon Patrol on the Commodore 64, which I was getting a bit addicted to because I tried to get the high score and I didn't end up getting it. I got the shits and I wanted to move on. Someone had a better score than me that day, or maybe they kept it on from previous days. But yeah, that was really cool. Also played Outrun. They had like a sit-down Outrun cab, Crazy Taxi, nice. Point Blank 2 or 3. I'm not sure which one it was, but I played that as well. It was really hot that day, so it was quite hot in there because the Germans don't have aircon in most places because they don't often need it. But hopefully that changes because if things keep getting warmer, which I think it has been in Germany, they probably need it for summertime at least. But yeah, just so many old school consoles. They had like the original Space Wars machine. I believe it's one of the originals, like one of the first arcade machines. They had a replica of the brown box that Ralph Baer made. And this replica was actually made by Ralph Baer, the godfather of video games.
Wow.
Basically made the first Pong before it was called Pong. Yeah, so many historic things, like basically one of each console, including an Apple Pippin, which was pretty cool to see. A Pain machine where like if you play it with two, I was there alone because I'm a bit of a loser. So there was no one to play with me, but there's a Pain machine where you put your hand on and like you do something else and you can like send like electrical currents into the other person's hand. There's like a warning on there, like, you know, play this with caution. That was pretty cool. Yeah, just a great museum. If you're ever in Berlin or even in Germany, just make the trip to Berlin and see the Computerspiel Museum, video game museum.
Yep. Right.
Had a good chat. I even boasted about the podcast. Well, I promoted the podcast to the guy who works there. Talked to him a bit. That was pretty awesome. I had a really good time. Apart from that, I went to a video game shop there, which is pretty cool, called Freeman Games. It's really set up like it's a retro shop, kind of set up a little bit messier though, because they're very organized in Japan, but like a Japanese shop, everything is kind of crammed in. I could really only afford to buy a Game Gear game for like 10 euros. I got Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Game Gear. So I was pretty happy with that. He had a great selection though, really cool. And yesterday I went to a game shop nearby here near where Michelle's parents live called Next Heroes Gaming and Nerd Shop, I believe the proper title is. But yeah, Next Heroes basically, and the owner there's good bloke, really cool. We had a bunch of fun playing Tetris together because he's a Tetris player as well. He organizes a lot of conventions and events in Germany. One of them is called Retro. It's on this bag actually that he gave me. Retro Börse, which basically means retro swap meet. How cool is this bag? We love retro.
Right.
Little tote bag. Yeah, maybe you can see it better now. Yeah, so he runs this event, Retro Bursa, and they have several a year where it's just like a gaming retro gaming convention. Hmm. I haven't got to go to one yet, and I don't think I will before we leave. But there are some other events coming up that hopefully I can get to, including this one, which is a PlayCon. It's an interactive gaming event convention, which has a retro area to it. So maybe I can get to that. Yeah, so awesome shop. He has some good deals there, and I'll just go through my pickups. Apart from the other games I was playing, I've also been playing Tetris. I'm in an online German Tetris league, and I just played that. You basically have your different levels based on your PB, and I was in the third league because I'm not that good, and we all play each other like a round robin event. And I believe the top two have like a playoff to see who wins, or maybe it's just if you're top of the ladder, you win. I didn't get that far. I won two and I lost three, which I was pretty happy with. I didn't get destroyed, so it was really fun. They have a restreamer with a commentator, and it's just head-to-head classic Tetris, and it's a great time. Check out Classic Tetris Germany on Twitch if you ever want to watch that. And there are several restreamers. If anyone want to get involved, I think you could just join the Classic Tetris Germany Discord. There is an English chat part of the Discord, which helps me, but they're happy to speak English usually. I guess because I live here, they are happy with me competing, which is cool. But yeah, pickups from this shop, Next Heroes, which I love. Thank you, Daniel, from the shop for having such great prices. I got Echo the Dolphin.
Oh, Brad.
Boxed, complete with instructions. I've read, what's it called? The Console Wars book, and this was in that book, so it was on my mind. Just how they came up with the idea of Echo the Dolphin and told it to the guys at Sega who make the decisions. Some of the lower down guys had the idea, and Sega was very open-minded at the time, and they said, yeah, let's do it. Let's make a fucking dolphin game. Why not? And then, yeah, along came Echo the Dolphin. Pretty cool. It's got a little Sega sticker on the back there. Sega. Nice. I got that for €15. So that's like $22 Australian. Decent. From the shop as well. Very happy with that. Metroid Prime 3 for €12. I thought any Metroid game for like basically, I don't know, $17 Australian. Got to get that. That's complete as well. It's got the nice disc there. I love how the discs look on the Wii sometimes. They have really cool artwork. So it's supposed to be a good game too, so I'm pretty happy with that. Oh, how good does it sound when you close a game case?
You like a click, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, I love a click, man.
You're talking about the clicking between games. So like I remember that, like the clack when you with the Game Boy games.
When you like sort through the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. that's my like ASMR, whatever it is. This game, Enduro Racer, I swear we had this on the Master System when I was a kid. It's like my first, one of my first video games I ever played. And I forgot about it. And I looked at the screenshots on the back there, you can see. I was like instantly taken back.
Nice.
So it was either built into the Master System we had, or we had the actual game, but that's also complete in box for €8, so $12. I was like, can't not get it.
That's quite a popular. Yeah. Yeah. It was quite a popular,
pretty
title.
Good game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. And the condition's awesome. And I have a Master System recently before I left Australia, and I never really got to play it much. So I'm stoked to bring this one back and play it. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground.
Just going to take a quick pee break.
Yeah, no worries, man. I'll be done soon. Sorry, Mike. We're running overtime, man. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground on the DS for €3, like $5. And that's complete as well. And it looks like a pretty fun game. Like it's actually in the perspective third person for the DS. So that's decent because the Game Boy Advance Tony Hawk's games was like isometric. Uh-huh. And so I wonder, I'm just really curious if that plays well or not. And for €3, I had to get it.
Yeah. I've never played Proving Ground. Never played it before for some reason. But it sounds good.
Yeah, I guess they weren't as popular, the ones after like the mainline Tony Hawk series, Tony Hawk's 4. Underground, I think, was quite popular still. Track and Field, me and my brother played this shitload on the PS1. Right. It's basically an Olympics game, you know, bashing buttons. €2, right. Man. So $3 for a PS1 game. I was like, yeah, okay.
I played it on an arcade, but I never knew it came out on PlayStation. It's crazy.
All right. Yeah, it did. Didn't I just remembered this. I saw that cover and it took me back. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, international track and field
on the PS1.
Yeah, cool.
I played that a shitload with my brother. Like I think it was long jump we really, and high jump we played a lot. And this is another one that just took me back when I saw it. I was like, well, it's €2, man, for a box PS1 game.
Man,
beautiful.
I mean, it's a bit cracked up and everything, but I really don't care about condition for most games. As long as it still looks nice, it's in its box. No manual, but I mean, who cares? World Rally Championship Arcade. I don't know if that's a decent title, but it was €5, so like $7, $7.50. So I had to get that. That's complete with manual, and it's nice. The disc looks awesome. Cool. I love the artwork on some of these old discs. X2, it's a shooter, I get I believe.
Yeah.
It's in its plastic, I'll just leave it in there. But that one was €15, but I think so that's around $22. I think that's a bit more rare. He said it was only that cheap because of the big crack in the box, but it still looks great. So that's with the manual. It's a double disc case, but it's only one disc. And it says
they did that a lot.
One disc. I guess because the manual's kind of thick, but that's actually made by Ocean and Team 17. And Team 17 did Worms, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Ocean.
So I'm looking forward to that. Because it's pixel art, I believe. It's a pixel kind of looking game on the PlayStation, which is cool to see instead of just like the 3D graphics. So that'll be interesting. I also got a Game Boy Pocket and a defect DSi.
Yep.
Together for €30, I kind of tried to make a deal because I didn't have much money, more money to spend. So we'll see if this works. It's defective, but I mean, this is 25, which is good because it works. He tested it, and it's not in the best condition, but €25, so $35 basically for a Game Boy of any kind. That's a good deal.
These days.
Oh, yeah, Dennis, you know what else he had there? The white Japanese Play It Up Game Boy.
Really?
Ooh. Faded. Faded, but €80 he said he'll do for it, which is $120.
To play it up.
He said he's going to retro bride it and it'll be worth more then. But
that's a it's pretty good. That's pretty good price for the play it up.
I think I'm going to get it, man, and retro bride it because it's the Japanese.
I've got a retro bride the blue one because the back's really good, but but the front, it looks like it's been left in the sun or in a display cabinet or something. And,
with this one. Exactly the same.
I'll do a little bit of practice with some other stuff first and then give it a bit of retro bright. See what it comes out like.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, let me know how you go because I'll probably buy this Game Boy, even if it's for Scott because he's missing that one as well.
And he probably
would pay that price for it. The white Japanese exclusive one, Japan exclusive.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this might just need a new battery. I'm going to try it out. This is the second broken DSi I bought from the same shop. I still haven't got the old one working yet. I got to get a new power board for it. Maybe I can get them both working.
Become one.
Yeah. Take the best bits from each one. Yep.
Let's see. Actually, yeah, it's a good idea. And I think I paid €10 for the other one too. So, I mean, it's so cheap that even if it's just a bit of fun playing around and I still can't get it to work, I can basically resell it for what I paid for as defective. And who knows, maybe I get a working DSi out of it. I love the look of the console. It's so smooth. It's hot. Oh, sorry, guys. I know I was talking a shitload there, but I really wanted to get through everything. And let's let Mike get out of here.
You didn't say much at all because I lost you for about 5 minutes. So, that was great.
All right. Yeah, sorry, I had to keep going. But now you get to listen back to that, and it's not boring because it's the first time
you're hearing. Good. I wasn't sure what was happening because everyone just stopped, and I was like,
"Uh-oh." Nah, you stopped, all right? You were stuck like this for a while.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, you're touching your chin, and then it just... frozen, yeah. And then you bug it off.
We knew what you were going to say next was like super important.
Yeah, it was just appropriate pause, and then I dropped out.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Mike, Dennis, and Stroganoff. Where's the beef, Neil? Thank you very much, mate, for the joining us. And yeah, that's it. Awesome. Anything else anyone wants to say, or should we piss off?
Can we say something about Michael Kibbe's new world record as well?
Did you guys? Sorry, man. Nah.
We can't. We okay, like fair enough.
Yeah. Nah, we already talked about it when you were covered it. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, that's good that you're thinking about him. Dennis also thinks you're amazing, Kibbe. There we go. Yeah, we did. We chatted about it.
Glad it was adequately covered. Good to know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I better let you go, Mikey.
I better run.
Right.
Thanks, everyone.
That was awesome.